My chair is so creaky.
Pull in the intro.
I think the girls with their nails done now.
Hey everybody, how you guys doing? Welcome back to the Linux Tube. We're live today. We're looking forward to our topics today. We are talking about some OpenEla and also Linux life. Is it worth it? And we're going to do a distro spotlight. What the heck? Jesse, how you been, brother?
I have been a little bit absent and waiting for the delay here because I can see my own camera, so I am going to hide that. But hey to everybody in the chat, Alex. It is so good to be back. I miss podcasting. I miss streaming. I miss hanging out with you.
Awesome.
This
I
is,
missed you
this
too.
Is a fun,
last week,
a fun new project. Yeah.
Yeah. Last week was something else. You know, I mean, I've been, you know, we started to slow down and then all of a sudden we ramped up again with work. So where I'm at, I would say from the Rockies over on the whole Pacific coast, one of our largest customers is actually Amazon buildings. And so all the steel that goes into their warehouses and stuff, we fabricate all the steel girders, the washers, everything. And so that's what we've been working on. They just came in and put in a huge order here. We've got every piece of equipment at work just going balls to the wall.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, so it's been a very tiring week for me. I've been basically pulling, you know, 50 to 60 hour work week.
That's nuts. Hey, it looks like my cam is frozen out on the stream.
Frozen.
Are you seeing that too?
I am.
Chat, are you guys seeing my camera? Because I can see it going to you. I'm looking at my own cam and I can see. That's strange.
Okay, let me switch it. There we go. Yeah, can you move?
Okay.
Wave.
All right. Hello.
Yeah, now you're live.
Okay. I am not seeing that. I'm going to refresh the stream and see what we get.
I see you moving in OBS.
Okay. On the stream, they saw behind the Iron Curtain there. They saw your OBS. Yeah, they saw the OBS. Yep. Okay, cool. Now the video feed is live.
Cool. That's really weird. I wonder why they did that.
I don't know.
Interesting.
So
it's always a snafu with Linux. Leads it to Linux life.
Oh boy, man, that's going to be something I spend some time talking about later today.
The perfect snafu.
Life was crazy the last couple weeks. But now I'm definitely moving towards creating content full time. So
nice.
That includes what I'm intending to do for, you know, us on the Linux Tube.
Awesome. That is awesome. What exactly? So I know that we were talking yesterday and first off, you accomplished a milestone in achieving and solving a problem that you.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I was super, super, super excited about that this morning. Do you want me to talk about that now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Cool. I actually had put Windows on my main boot drive for a minute, and it was because my partner left Linux for good, and I was considering it for a minute because just I was having a couple weeks where everyday tasks were being unmanageable. And, you know, distro hoppers, I know you've been there.
Who has
you'll hit a distro, you'll tweak it, you'll get it all set up, you'll get it all right. And then all of a sudden you are using the desktop equivalent of a crappy car. Everything's a chore. Everything's a problem. Steam wasn't working. My OBS wasn't working. My sound wasn't working. It was annoying stuff. My partner, her last straw, you know, she tried to watch Disney Plus and got a message that we have detected you are using Linux. We won't let you watch on Linux. So, you know, before I could check and see if it was DRM related.
Hang on a second. So she was streaming, right? And it told her that?
She was, yes.
And she was streaming through a web browser, right?
Correct.
Right.
And it said that it detected she was using Linux and that it was not possible.
She probably had not enabled DRM.
Maybe. Who knows?
You have to, in Brave, it's known as Widevine.
Oh, yeah.
In Firefox,
like you do for Amazon Prime and Hulu and all that.
Exactly. Yeah. Digital rights media content is what it is. You have to enable that in order to make things, you know, play like that.
I'm assuming that was enabled because I think I remembered setting her up, but it's possible that I hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was by no means a brand new Linux user. She used Puppy back in the day.
Uh-huh.
So I had no lack of faith in her capabilities, especially on her machine was using Pop. So I think that Widevine and stuff is done by default in Pop.
You know, I'm not sure. I haven't used Pop in probably 4 or 5 years, maybe. Was the last time I actually used it?
Yeah, I want to say when they finally release the full-on Rust-based Cosmic Desktop, I would love to do that review. I'm a big fan of Pop. I'm a big fan of System 76 in general.
I remember
before they were building, you know, all these different varieties,
mm-hmm.
one of the cool things and one of the things that got them on the roadmap with people is you could send them a self-addressed envelope. And they would send you keyboard caps or keycap stickers. They would send you keycap stickers to cover up your Windows logo with an Ubuntu logo.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember hearing
that. And
I never saw one, but I remember
when Windows Vista and Windows 8 or 7 or 8 were first getting keyboards made that were compatible with them. The Windows key for a while had a little recessed divot and the keycap would perfectly fill it and make the key flush and cover up the ugly Windows logo.
Well, I know for a while there, and I'm sure they still make them. I'm
sure they have a warehouse full of those stickers.
Well, not just the stickers, but you know, they're actually, you could buy replacement keycaps for your keyboards and pop them off depending on the style of keyboard that you have. Yeah. So, I mean, they made them. I remember they used to make the Windows key, and that's the number one reselled one of all the keys that sold the most. I remember that. And they'd make different logos for different things. Like, you could put car logos on there, animal logos.
Oh, that's wild.
Well, any kind of logo that you could put, you know, that you wanted could be found on that one key. But that one key, that Windows key, was like the number one sold key out of all the keys on a keyboard.
I believe that. Going back to the problem that I fixed, you guys know that I stream on Twitch and YouTube doing game content, and on Linux that can be a challenge, especially if you're on NVIDIA hardware. But what I did was I sort of used Ubuntu's Snap Store as a bit of a time machine, because the Ubuntu Snap version of OBS Studio, the stable version, is held at 27.1.3. And that's important because OBS changed how they have things going in the back end, where you're not using the EGL compositor anymore. Because they were moving towards Wayland support.
Right.
And what that did was it broke the NVFBC plugin for OBS Studio.
Right.
And there are other solutions. You have Glorious Eggroll's wonderful game capture mode that works on a lot of different setups. But I feel like the NVFBC is a better solution when you can get it to work, because it actually captures the whole frame buffer. Now, mm-hmm. unfortunately, that does mean when you're capturing the source, you capture the whole screen.
Right.
But I've noticed that you get the best FPS in the capture if you go this way. Meaning so that I don't...
What FPS are you normally getting? Are you hitting on that one?
Well, I'm not measuring it right now, but when I do that source, I just lock it to VSync.
Oh, okay.
And because why would you do anything else?
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. No,
yeah. I lock it so that, you know, my camera's at 60.
Mm-hmm.
I want my frame rate for everything to be 60 so that it's smooth.
Right.
Twitch and YouTube are already going to compress the daylights out of it anyway.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, that I used to record, cause my cameras were all at 4K. And I'd have my resolution at, 2160?
Oh, your bandwidth probably was choppy. Oh, that's so much data it uses.
Well, yeah, but what it did, yes, but my bandwidth handled it just fine. I've got 1 gig.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, I'm good. But the thing was, I noticed that every time I posted a video to the YouTube or whatever, you know, I wasn't getting that quality, even though it was marked at that quality, you know? So,
right.
And then I was like, you know, why am I, and it would take forever to encode. You know what I'm saying? It took literally doubled the time. So I just stopped going for that, you know, 4K quality and just shot it regular HD 1080 at 60
Makes
FPS.
Sense.
And I was getting, cause at the 4K, I was only getting 30 at best, you know?
Right.
So yeah, it's just better to do it this way. It's nice. It's really nice. Also a little note or started to do.
Let's see. I think we're having a network issue.
What do you mean?
We buffered for a second. That was weird.
That is really weird.
So yeah, now I'm capturing, you know, nice smooth frames, and I can go back to doing Linux-based content creation, which is honestly what I prefer to do.
Nice. Well, you know.
So yeah,
that is
Linux life. It's not always easy, but it's fixable.
Well, you know, Linux life. I could tell you, I could go from video cards to printers to actual motherboard chipsets.
Oh yeah,
you know, to actual processors, and then, you know, once the hardware stuff started getting fixed, then Linux life became a little bit more bearable, but then started the software.
Of course,
yeah. You know, you would, especially when you were trying to make it a daily driver to use for everything. For me, a lot of it was always finding compatible software that was the mainstream software that would work with other people's software, like Office software being the
right.
number one thing.
And it's still not one-to-one perfect.
No, it isn't. You know, and the thing is, and I'll be honest with you, I don't use a lot of Office software, so I can't truly speak onto it. You know, I mean, if I could open up like LibreOffice or whatever, WPS or OnlyOffice or whatever, and enter whatever I need to do and make it type and print, I'm usually okay. But as far as like, sure. but as far as like setting it up to be compatible with other, you know, right. like Microsoft Office or whatever, I'm all thumbs on that one. You know, I understand there's a lot of finessing that's got to be done on that.
Yep. And for all the headache it has, unless you have a moral stance that prevents you from using, say, Google stuff, really, Google Docs and Google Spreadsheets and all that has sort of really made the need for a hard-coded desktop client very, very much less than it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And
you know, for a quick job, honestly, it's easier for me to just grab Google Docs, do what I need to do, and then I can hit it from any device I need. you know, if I don't go to, if I don't have a printer, I can go up to the print shop here in town, mm-hmm. and I'm in a rural town, you know, I can go to the print shop and print off from my phone.
Nice. You know, like I said, I don't have a lot of interaction that way because I'm more of a, you know, like a knuckle dragger type job, you know, I don't deal.
Stop.
I mean, I'm not in an office environment, so I don't have to deal with looking at spreadsheets or Word documents right. or any of that stuff. So for me, it's not a, I don't know how, you know, I mean, I know you could share Google Docs on there and stuff like that, but I don't know if you have to open it through an office format, you know, on your,
right.
on your end or not, you know what I mean? So that I don't know if you just, sense. I don't know if you just click on it, like on your phone, it just pops up. I mean, well, most of your phones now come with an office feed on there anyhow.
They do. Yeah.
You know, so, yep. so I guess it just naturally, you know, natively imports it and opens it up and you can read it and do any kind of editing yeah. and stuff like that. Like, I'll tell you another software. I remember back in the day, everything when PDFs started coming out. That's another
PDFs one. Used to be a nightmare, dude.
A huge nightmare.
They were big and they were cumbersome and you couldn't edit them. And
exactly. Oh, you couldn't edit them. There was all kinds of stuff. Now it's like all in one, it seems like, you know, your Office Suite does all of it. I mean,
yeah.
So Linux life, you know, I guess, In retrospect, Linux life is like I said in the title, is it worth it? You know, and
there's a little bit of a learning curve.
Yeah, I think it teaches you more. I think it teaches you more on a few different things. One, it teaches you more that you can certainly adapt, improvise, and overcome scenarios.
Oh, sure,
if you
sure.
put the work in.
Yep.
But also, it also teaches you how to sharpen your tool set to be able to do that. You know, you just can't be faint of heart, you know? I mean,
no.
A lot of people have this misnomer that they're going to jump to Linux anymore and things are just going to work. It's still not that way. So,
right.
have to put work in.
Using Linux really shows you how much you do with your computer.
Absolutely.
That you might take for granted. And
absolutely.
I would say there's, you know, there's definitely different things that you will go through as you become a seasoned veteran Linux user, if you want to use that term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been using Linux for 20 years. And, you know, last week I had a moment where I'm like, do I still want to keep going? And you have them. I know so many diehard Linux people that have them, right? I mean, I'm not alone here.
No, every day I am learning more and more and more. I mean, there's so many advancements going on in the Linux. I mean, it's, you know, like people talk about it being fractured, you know. And,
it is.
And it is, you know, because there's so much technology going on in it, and it's becoming an all-encompassing scenario that it's kind of almost has to be fractured by nature in order for it to survive.
Yep.
You know, and so doing that, you know, there's stuff that you used to be able to, that you used to know. And now it's like, it's almost like doctors. Now it's become, you know, Linux has become specialty, you know, like streaming specialties, gaming specialties, you know, you know,
there's
server
so
specialties.
Much going on
yeah.
now.
There's so much going on. And I love it. I love it so much yeah. because it shows one, the flexibility of Linux life
it
and
does.
The power
really
of Linux life.
Do you remember the phrase gaming on Linux used to be a punchline?
It used to be a meme, a joke.
Oh yeah. It was before, you know, before the days of I use Arch, by the way.
Yeah.
It was gaming on Linux.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it was gaming on Linux was so bad that Mac users could laugh at us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And what's funny is now they've fallen behind.
Yeah. I mean, Apple Silicon, you know, baking the GPU into the M1 chip,
mm-hmm.
it's great for video editing. It is not great for gaming from what I've heard.
Right.
But I want to do more research before I say much more on the podcast and I wind up wrong.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I mean, they're trying to like catch up because they realize they're behind the curve. Windows is actually, from what I understand, when it comes to the gaming on Linux, at you know, in the Linux life world, Windows is actually acknowledging Linux in that aspect, you know. And well, also, yeah, I mean, Linux jumped up to a 3% market share.
Love it. I think we talked about that on our first episode.
Yep,
together.
On our first episode. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So, I mean, so what you bring, that's showing that what we're talking about, that Linux life is definitely worth it. It's just, you know, I mean, even, you know, like, I know several YouTube content creators that have gotten frustrated with Linux and left the Windows for a minute and are now back. In fact, I know one of them recently got so frustrated, they went to Windows, they announced they're leaving Linux, this, that, and another, and then all of a sudden, now they're rocking a Gen 2 box.
Yeah, honestly, on one of my streams the other day, I had announced it. I was mad. I had 20 years of just being tired of, you know, tired of workarounds and tired of, you know, little tiny insignificant things that just pile up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're out there, if you're watching this podcast or if you're watching a rebroadcast of it later, you know, if you hit one of those stumbling blocks, it's okay. Come back, you know, take a time out.
Well, you know, and that's why when one of the things that I will tell new users that are coming to Linux, I understand it's a nightmare. And oftentimes you want to keep them on a separate hard drive. But if you can stay dual booted for a minute.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do.
It's a good thing to do. It only helps in your transition because in reality, you're not 100% used to all the different applications that you're going to need that are compatible or comparable or alternatives to what you use in Windows. So if you're not, you know, if you're not really up to speed on that kind of stuff, transferring to, you know, transitioning to a Linux life can be very, very frustrating in the beginning to the point that it could leave a bad taste in your mouth and you never decide to try Linux ever again. And if you would have just simply maintained a dual boot situation where you could flip into Windows, do what you need to do, and then learn what you needed to do in Linux to get that same outcome, it would definitely make that transition a lot.
Yeah, it's actually easier for me to stream on Linux than it is on Windows. It's more stable. It's easier to configure. It's lighter on resources. And
well, that's just by nature of Linux. Linux is way lighter on resources than Windows ever will be.
Well, it depends on your distro. And, you know, we could have a whole podcast episode. Hell, we could have a whole series on... Let's duke it out for resource usage on like live. Let's boot them up and put them against each other.
Yeah, well, you know, that's an idea actually, but I have never actually like Windows 11, I think out of the gate uses something like 10 gigs of RAM.
It gets close, and I think like that's why 10 people gigs made of RAM?
I think the most I've ever seen in Linux in any distribution was like 3 gigs or 2 gigs?
That's you mean not even... just a cold boot with nothing open?
Yeah,
cold boot,
yeah. So I don't necessarily see that to be a huge comparison.
Well, I know that some enterprising individuals came out and there was a Tiny 11 that had like so many services and features stripped out as an attempt to try and...
I was going to say, and how well did that actually...
Well, there's some fanfare about it. I've heard different people like it. If you look on YouTube, there are tons of people singing the praises of it. Mm-hmm. But I've heard that there's some questionable stuff going on about that. I don't want to make an official accusation.
Well, yeah,
but
and also, you know, I know that that Chris Titus Tech actually has debloating scripts too. That he usually generates that will debloat and get rid of a lot of that stuff too. And slim it down to a desirable and still functioning. When you compare Linux to that, as far as like hardware resource, man, Linux blows Windows away.
Right now, at the time of this podcast or at this episode here, mm-hmm. under Ubuntu Budgie, which is what I'm running right now. Mm-hmm. I have Discord going. I've got some tabs going. I have things going in the background, you know, making my webcam all pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, I am using... Let's see, 12% CPU overall. I have an i5 10th gen laptop. Mm-hmm. So I'm at about 12.5 CPU, fluctuating a little bit, but staying under 20.
And yeah, I'm rocking right around 6%. I've got OBS. I've got, you know, you're on a thing. I've got a couple web browsers open. Yep. And I'm streaming live, and I'm rocking a Ryzen 7.
So, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think I'm using maybe, with the two web browsers open, I've got maybe, I was getting ready to say, I'm using like 3 gigs.
That's impressive. Yeah, now,
I got 32 gigs in this box.
Yeah. One thing I love to do, if you have more than, say, 8 or 16 gigs of RAM and you're running Linux, try passing an argument to your grub commands, and it'll be in the quiet splash area.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can put the line in the show notes or something. Mm-hmm. If people want to try this. There's a kernel argument called toRAM. T-O-R-A-M, to RAM. And what it does is it loads your whole OS into user space. So it puts your entire environment into RAM. And unintentional flex, I'm using 64 gigs on my production machine. You're using, 32 on yours?
32, yep.
Both of our machines are more than capable of running the to RAM argument. And if you don't, I would say, you know, try it a few times. Try it for a week.
Mm-hmm.
See how your performance is. I noticed that applications open faster, file copies are faster. Yeah,
because it's on a different bus signal for your with your processor. It's a lot faster. It's kind of like it's like NVMe on crack on your PCIe
I do have an NVMe main drive as well. Actually, both of my drives are NVMe. So, I mean, with that, it's as fast as this laptop's going to get. I can't think of anything else I could do to make it any faster.
Yeah. Well, you know,
you can't do stuff like that with Windows.
Huh?
You can't do stuff like that with Windows easily.
Like I said, flexibility, you know, and that's flexibility isn't from just, you know, the software aspect. It's actually anymore. It's also from hardware, you know. You're in control of your hardware. Granted, yeah, and it's really funny because in our Discord server, we have a new person that came in last night, and they're switching over from Windows. And I was conversing with them a little bit. Shameless plug, you know, if you're not in the Discord server, you should join the Discord server.
Absolutely.
And I was talking to him last night because I find myself talking to a lot of people in the Discord. I'm more accessible. And one of the things I was telling him is, because he was talking about which distro to use and how he's going to have to get a driver specific to a piece of hardware for like a capture card. And I was like,
okay,
so drivers in Linux don't exactly work like you do in Windows, where you have to go out and find this driver and this executable that may or may not have some questionable, you know, bloatware into it or whatever. It could be potentially a virus. You know, it's just baked into the kernel for the most part. It just works. Just plug it in and it works.
Yep.
And he's like, what? I'm like, yes. I said, like, if you have AMD, Intel, you know, GPUs, 9 times out of 10, you plug them in, they just, you know, unless it's like some uber super new one and they haven't updated the kernel yet. I said, NVIDIA is starting to get there anymore when you install the proprietary drivers that are available. You know, I said they'll tend to work. They're still a work in progress, and you can actually go to the NVIDIA website, as I told him, and actually download the actual drivers for them.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so he's like, really? I'm like, yeah. I says, when you come to Linux and you start living the Linux life, it just works a lot of times. You know, and it creates some frustration when it doesn't work, because now you have to learn some kind of techie stuff. You know, like I said, you have to learn your metal, you know, test your metal strength.
Yeah. We have a comment here in the chat, and so sorry. I don't feel like I can properly pronounce this user's name, but they said, you know, most drivers are present in the Linux kernel, and I have to agree.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, you know, when you're switching to the Linux life, you're actually freeing yourself up of the potential risks of going out and getting drivers and all the questionable things that happen with them. And you're freeing yourself up of the frustration of most of it just actually working, except for when it doesn't. Then it's always a catastrophic fail.
Oh, yeah. It works great until it doesn't. Yeah. But do you drive stick?
Yes.
Okay, then this is for you too. I compare using Linux all the time. You are actually using your computer rather than operating your computer.
Correct.
Very much like driving a stick shift is the same way. You are actually driving the car, not just steering the car.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that. Yeah, you know, and the truth of the matter is it's kind of... It's not like you're driving a truck or like you're driving a nice little sports car too, because you can get really fast with it and do a lot of cool things with it.
Oh yeah. And then you have, you know, your purpose distros. They're like your little subcompacts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
NDIS wrapper. Holy shit.
NDIS wrapper. Yes.
No.
That is old school stuff. I talked about that with Brody when I did Tech Over Tea with Brody. You know, I was talking about the nightmare that was.
That was a guys, wow. Okay.
That's for us
old heads. It's time to get out our walkers. It's
that sounds like something hip dad would have said.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and drop in an invite link to the Discord since you were talking about it.
Sure.
For everybody in the chat. We got a Discord link coming through.
Nice. Yeah, but, NDIS wrappers. Oh my God, NDIS wrappers. Oh Lord, dude, I hated those. And I'll be honest with you,
it was stable for like 5 minutes.
Exactly.
A time.
When you first got it, and you finally figured it out, and you got it to work, and then it just went sideways. You could never get it fixed. So that's when I gave up on shit.
Oh yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, I just gave up on it. You know, I was like, whatever. You know, like I said, man, that's when you learned how to go shopping for a PC with a list of well-known parts that actually worked.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of things working, why don't you hit your first topic for us today?
All right, my first topic is going to be get it up on the thing. On the board, It is going to be basically we're looking at Oracle SUSE, as they can see it now. Oracle SUSE and CIQ are going after Red Hat with Open Enterprise or Open ELA is what they're calling it, and it's basically the three huge companies have focused on creating a one-to-one bug. For bug compatible server distribution for actual Red Hat to compete with Red Hat. And they're specifically, you know, using the all sources are necessary to achieve the one-to-one bug report compatible version of EL. They're using security errata data and their compatibility guidelines for downstream distributions to test their build's results. So they're not putting together, what they're doing is they're putting together the source code for people to go out and make their own distributions like your Rockies, your Almas to use, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They're not actually putting together an actual distribution. So they're basically kind of trying to give Red Hat the FU, if you will, to say, yeah, well, we can do what you're doing, but, you know, we could do it and make it very much so accessible, you know, to the world and keep up with what you're doing and bring back the open source value to the server community.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would say it's as adversarial as an FU, but it's more of like a...
I'd like to say that.
Well, I think they've given the users a lifeboat off the Titanic, and the Titanic is real.
Well, yeah, and yes, but also more specifically, in the business world.
Oh, sure. Like,
you know,
you guys can't do this. Hold my beer.
Not just that, but also think of all those people that had all those servers already in place.
Oh, yeah.
And running.
Oh, the enterprise world got rocked.
Literally rocked. And then when the carpet gets pulled out of you, you're left freaking out once you get over the shock of it. And then you start looking for an alternative. But the problem was, is there. In this situation, there wasn't no real alternative. I mean, you had, you know, SUSE has their commercial side as well. You know,
Canonical has Ubuntu servers.
Canonical had Ubuntu, right? But there's a reason why you had went with Red Hat. You went with RHEL.
You wanted that brand power, and they have that.
Or maybe, you know, a lot of people tried the other servers for their business models, and they just didn't work for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, yep. And so, I mean, so you needed that. So this is a good thing for those people that are running the RHELs. You know, I think it's an avenue out. It's kind of a, like I said, a mild, not a full-on frontal FU, but it's actually it's upholding the open source initiative for that and giving support back to the actual, you know, community that needed it, because that was
important. Oh, yeah. Just.
You know, I mean,
we're gonna be seeing waves of this for a while.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm not trying to beat the RHEL thing. I'm trying to show positivity that's coming out of it, because we heard so much negative on it. You know, I think it was on DT's patron cast, and we were talking about that, and I said, you know, RHEL had given a lot to the community. It's okay that they took their basketball and went home. You know, so to speak. You know, but. It was going to create innovation in this, you know what I mean? And this is the first sign of life. And it's actually something that in a way that we should have kind of sort of had.
Yeah.
You know, already.
They made a common enemy for everybody to rally against.
Well, that and that's true, because it literally became the enemy of my enemy is now my ally, you know?
Yeah.
And so that kind of, so, you know, three huge companies come together to put together an open source, and that's all they're going to do, is a very positive role for that community to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Red Hat had their Lex Luthor moment, and here comes the Justice League.
Yeah. Do we have any questions in the chat or anything that we need to kind of address?
Yeah. Are any of you guys still on Red Hat after the update? Have you jump ship on anything? Do you work in an environment where you're allowed to talk about that? You know, did you see a professional impact from Red Hat's change of direction?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you ask that question, because the reality of it is I've heard from a lot of people, but they were not working in that in that field, in the IT field, so server field. Whatever. And so all I ever heard was the negative impact from people that were just like regular, you know, users.
Right. We'd like to hear, you know, let's hear from people who aren't just, you know, repeating what we're all seeing in the news articles. Like, how did it impact you personally? What did you maybe have to do?
I did actually
get around it.
There's he's a friend of mine on Facebook, and he actually belongs to a couple of Linux communities. And he actually does do maintenance service, not thinking about it. And he told me that once he saw the actual news coming out about it, he'd started kind of, because in the community, he had gotten a little bit of wind before it completely happened. And so he had started migrating a lot of them over to either Ubuntu or OpenSUSE.
That makes sense, right?
You know, so you just as a preventative measure until he could figure, you know, until he knew what was actually going to happen. So I think that could be a possibility of what happened too with a lot of these professions, why we're not really
right, because you need contingency plans before stuff like this happens.
Absolutely. So I think that may be another reason why we didn't hear from a lot of guys.
Yeah.
But so that's, you know, That I think is, like I said, I was trying to show positive on that. That we're actually coming out of the dark days.
nicely done.
Yeah. Also, how are you doing with your, you got any, I just wanted to ask you, I'm kind of coming out of the wind on this one, on the blue on you, but what kind of, can you give us a hint on any of the reviews you're doing?
Oh, I definitely want to spend some time going through various different Ubuntu derivatives. I want to show some Ubuntu Studio. That was one of the first Ubuntu variants that I really started to flex on a little bit. I still struggle with the real-time kernel, and it's got some idiosyncrasies that can be challenging to work with. I want to talk about Pop, and I mentioned that earlier. I think, they are setting themselves apart from the Ubuntu derivatives more and more as we're migrating towards, the Rust-based Cosmic Desktop, things like that. So I don't know that I can put it under the same umbrella, but I definitely, definitely can't wait for a beta, even an alpha or a pre-alpha. I would love to play with Pop. I'm looking at Regatta, actually, because of your review of it, but Regatta and I aren't getting along right now. And I think my video card's a little too old for it.
Right, and that's the thing. Regatta is a very cutting-edge but awesome distro for gaming that's built on OpenSUSE. Yeah. And it's fan-freaking-tastic. I mean, it's got POGN, also your freaking... All your game launchers are already baked right in. So basically, you just download it, install it, connect your accounts to it. Steam's already baked right in. I think the Proton's already enabled on it. I can't remember if I had to enable it or not. But the compatibility there, I think, is already enabled for it. I mean, it's literally set up.
I think it's a really worthwhile contender for Nobara in a lot of different ways. But
I actually did a comparison video on that.
And it doesn't have, all of the same touches that GE put into Nobara because, that's their baby. Mm-hmm. But I think we're definitely getting to a point now, thanks to the Steam Deck, thanks to work from Steam OS and Valve, and you've got the fringe gaming distros. You've got your Garuda, you've got your Holo OS, which was a fork of Steam OS, if Chimera. I remember right.
Chimera. I don't know how to say the name.
The mythical creature. Chimera. Chimera OS. I think there's Draugr OS.
Draugr, yep.
Which, and they're Ubuntu based. Maybe I'll do that too. Mm-hmm. But I've got some stuff in the works. But today, I think we've got a spotlight from you, and it's Ubuntu based.
Yes, so, it is.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay, so let me see. We're going to look at this one. Now, DT, it's really funny. I'll tell you the story on this. And I messaged DT yesterday, or was it yesterday or the day before, about it? Either way. And I got the suggestion from another Discord member. They sent me to look at Rhino Linux. And it's Ubuntu-based. And that evening, I got it. I go and I look it up, and I'm getting ready to do the... I recorded a video. I got to do the editing on it for Rhino Linux, and DT the very next day drops this video. So I was like, wow. But it's a brand new distribution. But what makes it amazing is that it is a rolling release version of Ubuntu. And the other...
I have some concerns about that combination of things.
Of course, because it kind of takes away what Ubuntu's kind of known for, being rock solid and stable and steady, so to speak. But I think when it comes to this, what they're kind of catering, and it's got the XFCE desktop, which is very, as we'll scroll down here and look right here.
Oh, yeah. It's super, super lightweight.
Yeah, it's super lightweight. It's a very customized desktop. It's very clean, very neat. I really enjoyed that.
That wallpaper
is awesome. The logo, I love this little logo right here too. You know, it's pretty cool, but
it's very cartoony and fun. Can we get a can we get a larger?
Let me see if
blow up for that for the viewers.
Let me see.
Those icons on the website, like, it looks very fun. It looks very fun.
There's no actual art for it just yet, because I think they're just, you know, they're creating. I'm trying to zoom in on it. There we go.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. It's nice and big. I mean, the icons are nice. The theming's nice. They've got their launcher here. But what some of the things that I want to highlight are the package manager system in it is known as Rhino PKG-PKG. And it's a very powerful and flexible package manager because it's kind of it will search for whatever you're looking for in app images, snaps, and flat packs if you have them enabled. Also, apt package managers, and also it comes with the AUR of Ubuntu of Packstall completely installed. So
Packstall, does that work? Like, is it adding PPAs? How much can you go into without making it a full review on today's episode?
Well, so what Packstall is, I did a video on it, and it was a package manager that came along that is actually, it does do PPAs, it does do all the different like snaps and stuff like that. It's basically the AUR for Ubuntu and for Debian too, as well. It'll do Debian repositories as well. But the thing is a command line software installer.
Would hope so. I'd be worried about having that much power in a GUI and unleashing that on a new user. That's a lot to work with all those different package sources.
And the developers actually, so what's interesting is the developers actually suggest that you use Nala, install and run Nala on it to clean it up so that it, you know, when it categorizes it nice and neatly. And in the video, I show that, and it's very, very, very nice.
I am super excited.
Yes. And the other thing too is what's interesting is you get a lot of these distributions like this that are new and upcoming and, you know, budgeting distributions. And the development team behind it are, you know, doing everything they can to fight to get it done, right? Well, one of the main developers for this is actually Ubuntu Touch developer.
Huh.
Yeah. He's actually a developer for Ubuntu Touch for PinePhone 64. And so what he did initially is it was called Rhino Remix. It was called Rhino Remix at first. And he threw it out there and people started actually picking up and using it. And they decided that it was like so cool. So then he went out and a lot of people that started using it became a development team. They became part of the development team and they started helping out. Like, somebody picked up the package management system. Somebody did the theming, kind of almost like, the package management system was always AUR, but kind of like Xero, you know, like Xero Linux. And that's the thing I thought of. Those colors were pretty much very lion looking. You know what I mean? Lion or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely saw, echoes of all the purple Xero things going on.
Yeah. But I thought that too. And so I think
Steve,
it's kind of,
Steve, I miss you, by the way.
Is he in the chat?
I don't know. I hope he's here.
Yeah. But anyhow, yeah. I mean, it, and one, they made XFCE look sexy.
I like the clean sideways dock bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
I used made to use XFCE my Mac look sexy in that way. It's cleaner.
And they very clean. I mean, it's clean AF, bro. I mean, I was.
Yeah.
The video's coming.
I don't want to wait. I'm impatient.
Yeah, so that's my spotlight on that. And then another thing that I'm going to be doing is, as you can see behind me, I've been playing with Hyperland a little bit. It's probably, you know, got a little glare on it. Bites. But I've been playing with Hyperland a little bit on my laptop, doing it on bare metal. And I got to say, I love it. Got to do some work to get OBS to work in it. To do the actual capturing and stuff like that. But Hyperland is looking good. And then also, I've been in our distribution, or I mean Discord server, I've been getting a lot of requests for NixOS. And Oglo is a huge, he's a member in my Discord. He actually is a huge NixOS guy. And what I will tell you about NixOS is it's a very reproducible OS. Also, it is a immutable, but not so immutable distribution. You can actually configure things globally versus user land. You can do user land as well with the Nix packages, but there is a way to install things globally, and it will carry across any instance you have it on.
So multiple users, you just, you know, I have a lot of guests over at my place all the time. And one of the things that I do is, you know, I want to set them up. I want to set up a guest account. And sometimes you have to go and reconfigure everything, reinstall all your packages. And that sounds great, you know, that I can just spin up a guest with that guest name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they
absolutely
leave,
and what's really nice, leave,
blow it up.
Right. And what's really nice too about NixOS that a lot of people I don't know if it talked about a lot or not, because I think I know that Jake at Linux did it. Oglo did a video on it. What's nice about it is it, say you mess up something or you rebuild it and it wasn't right what you did, you could easily roll it back at grub.
Okay.
You
looks
select.
Looks like I'm frozen again, by the way. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
How could this be? It's crazy.
Hopefully everybody can hear me.
Yeah, I'm sure they can hear you. I don't understand why you are frozen. There we go again. Now you move. You should be okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's testing really weird. Wave. Yeah, Linux life, right? Linux life.
Yep.
That's insane.
Sometimes it's like that.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. So anyhow, that is what I like about NixOS too. It's an easy solution. It's very reproducible. You can make things happen on the fly. And like I said, there's a couple immutable like Vanilla OS and a couple of other ones that I've done reviews on. That's one of the things I talked about is it kind of is counterintuitive to the Linux, you know, thing of where you should be able to tinker under the hood and do things that you want. This one actually bridges that gap a little bit. And it's been around for a while. It's just not been talked about.
Sure. It's by no means is it a household name, but it's not, you know, just now hitting the Linux world. Yeah.
So, I mean, so that's another one that I'm going to be looking at here pretty soon. That's what's going on in our world. Did we get a super chat? I think we got a super chat.
I didn't see it. You might have seen it.
Thanks or something like that. Yeah, I think we did. Anyhow, whoever that was, I thank you so much. Really appreciate that. It came up on the actual alert on the streams.
Super cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Can we get a shout out for that?
That's the thing. I don't know who exactly did it, and I'm afraid to freeze you again right now by switching windows.
Okay. Like that. Yeah. Put a thank you in the show notes.
I will definitely
thank you
put a
to
thank
our
you in
super
the show.
Chatter.
Yep. Thank you so much. But anyhow, that's all I've got for today. It's great being back on again, talking to you.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I definitely this was a highlight of my week.
Yes. It's absolutely. Good to be back. We will definitely be looking forward to next week again. Next week I'm working on some other content that's going to be, I think, pretty cool too. So I'm trying to decide on whether it's going to be you know, show worthy or not. Still kind of panning out, but either way, I'm really glad we got this out. I'm sure the community was missing us, and they've kind of been wondering what's going on with me. But you know, like I said, busy at work, busy doing things. I'm trying to get out there. So, and you had some stuff come along in life, King, that kind of rocked your world. So that's what caused a little bit of a pause.
Yeah,
but either way,
I have more time to dedicate to the channel, and I'm really looking forward to becoming, you know, not just a co-host on the podcast, but a regular full-time creator for the Linux Tube
and partner.
So,
well, I'm looking forward to it too, because I think it's going to really, really, really put out some stuff that between your knowledge and my knowledge, and then us coordinating what we're going to do, it's going to put out content that I think a lot of the viewers are going to really, really like, instead of just the same old.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. Let's see. Can I tease a little bit of upcoming news?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm really, really, really excited to work on bringing newbie-friendly content, both from a content creator's perspective, from a non-content creator's perspective. I'm going to possibly be featuring my partner in a few of these how-to things. If she's willing to come on camera, I'm going to take some tasks and drop her in as a new user, and we're going to get to watch her sort of
the actual reaction,
figure
live
it
reaction.
Out. Yeah, some reaction videos to, okay, we're dropping you into a Linux.
Yep.
See if you can figure it out. And there's no wrong answer, but we want to get, you know, real time, somebody who's used it before more than an average user.
And when you
just
told me
coming
about
to Linux,
when you told me about that idea, I instantly fell in love with it, because truthfully, I like,
we can't fake that.
Well, exactly.
We've used it for
and it
too
makes
long.
It so relatable, because I have a lot of new people that watch my channel, new to Linux, and are wanting that kind of stuff. And it's going to make it very relatable to them to be like, I know what that was, and this is how I figured out how to do it. Or I'm experiencing that right now, and oh, wow, this is how you do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's very relatable content. I love that.
Even if it just serves to validate that somebody is pissed off and cussing at their computer, and they know it's not them.
Yep. Yeah, it's I love it. I love it. I look forward to those videos. I'm probably going to be the first one dialing into it.
Hey, of course.
So
you're my partner.
Yeah,
of course
I mean,
you're
going to
be there first.
I love it. I love it. And of course, I'm going to start focusing, you know, on mild distro reviews, and also tools and how to set them up and use them effectively. And also user suggested tools, like if they want me to figure some stuff out for them and try to put out a video for that, you know, like tutorial videos for them. So that way we're getting even content that's actually beneficial all the way around.
That sounds so cool. And you know, first and foremost, we are a community. We are, you know, supposed to work together and make Linux better for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And the positivity, and that's the one thing about our Discord that I get compliments on all the time, is how much people really love the room and how great they find being in there and in the server, because it's chill. It's very easygoing, very helpful oriented to people. And they also see that I'm in there all the time talking to people. You know, when
yep, I'm working on being more active in there now, too. So guys,
you know,
look out
and also, you know, a lot of people, you know, have told me that they like that. They haven't posted questions in there yet, but the Ask TLT section is a very, very good one, too. Either way, we've reached we're over our hour mark.
Oh, okay.
So let's go ahead and bid adieu to the people out there. And you guys, as always, you guys keep doing what you do. Keep on Linuxing, stay blessed, have a great day, and we'll catch you in the next one. I think the girls with the nails done now.